here's the bare facts. College students today spend less time studying than their parents and grandparents. What we don't know is why, but some of you have some theories. Guys, that's an easy answer, one listener says. The internet's happened. Referencing material is insurmountably faster than it used to be with paper books, the Dewey Decimal System, and a library.
Look at all these books!
I've seen so many books in my entire life.
What kind of a book would you like?
Fantasy, folklore, myths, and legends. Basement stacks, take the stairs.
Great skills and hobbies. Goes under educational. Stack behind you.
Why are we wasting our time with the Dewey Decimal System when your system is so much easier?
Okay, so maybe that's it. In our day, we shuffled through college libraries, searching for numbers on dust jackets, taking notes with those ancient relics, pen and paper. Today, students zip through their research online. They have their papers written on their iPads in the same time it would have taken me to track down the proper volume of Grove's Dictionary of Music. But here's another theory from a listener in Oklahoma. Students and society as a whole are getting used to getting what they want immediately. Not studying or putting in the time at work or school, we have become lazy compared to 50 years ago.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Okay, so maybe that's it. These youngsters wouldn't know a hard day's work if it friended them on Facebook. They're more interested in tweeting about T-Pain and the Kardashians. Or maybe we should consult with some actual college students.
I'm Sean Kiley. I go to NYU. I go to Tisch for film. And I'm a rising sophomore now. And studying. I mean, I study. But I don't know what college is like compared to the real world. But compared to high school, I think it's easier than high school. I studied a lot more in high school than I do in college. That's for sure.
So, all right, teachers at NYU, if you have Sean Keeley in your class, you need to give him some more homework. But not everybody is like Sean.
Hi, I'm Mary Rose Blandino. I just graduated from Hampshire. I'm 22, and I study dance choreography and performance. High school is incredibly easy, and I don't think that I did homework, like, the entire time, unless it was, like, in the 5 minutes before class. So that when I got to college, it was like, hey, write 5 papers, and they're all due on the same day. And I was like, oh. Like, I need to, like, sit down and do all this work. And so in that way, it was definitely harder.
Many theories on why college students are studying less, but we have a couple people to maybe shed some light on this whole debate. Peter Stearns is provost and professor of history at George Mason University. Peter, you've taught for more than 40 years. Your position is you think students are working just as hard as they did as their parents and grandparents, right?
Well, let me say at least I'm not convinced that they're working less hard. I think the evidence is not nearly as decisive as some suggest.
All right. We're going to go into that further, but first let me introduce Richard Vedder, director of the Center for College Affordability and Productivity, who studies the economics of higher education. Richard, you've also taught in the classroom for 40 years, but you actually agree with this research and you think students are working not as hard and that college is too easy.
Sure. To be sure, there are many different kinds of college students, and the very best of the students we have today are probably as good and as dedicated as the very best of the students we had 40 years ago. But I do think there's a larger percentage of students today for whom college is a rite of passage, sort of a country club experience in which they do a bit of studying along with socialization, but for which the study component has become less and less of the total.
You know, Richard, I grew up in California. I used to hear when I was in junior high school and high school about all the college students at UC Santa Barbara having a great old time, one of those party schools. Haven't people always used college as a social environment?
Of course. People have always had fun, and part of going to college, particularly residential schools, is the socialization experiences. But I, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, people would go out and party on Saturday night. I think they're more inclined to go out and party on Friday night and often on Thursday night as well now. The degree of it, I think, has increased somewhat. I think grade inflation has contributed some to that. We don't expect as much out of our students as we did 40 years ago, in my judgment.
All right. So, Peter, let me go back to you. Is your argument with this study, this research, that the results aren't accurate, that maybe it's not true that students are studying less hours? Or is it perhaps that students have to put in fewer hours in order to get the same results?
Well, There may be a bit of both. And again, as Richard said, there's tremendous variety among students. So the label is potentially misleading. One other factor needs to be introduced. At my university and in many now, students are also spending a lot of time working. The notion that they're just enjoying rite of passage and country club, I think, is profoundly misleading, even if there is, as I think there may be, a bit of a study time problem.
Well, Richard, let me put that back to you because, you know, I mean, granted, I finished my master's degree in 1998, so it's been a while, but I was working full time in order for me to afford college. And it's very expensive to go to school now if you don't have a full, well, I had a full scholarship. I still had to work full time. As Peter says, many of these students, maybe they don't have as much time anymore.
There are a lot of students who work their way through school, although I might add that that was quite common 40 years ago as well. I don't think that's a new phenomenon. And there are students for whom college is a financial struggle and for whom it is not all a country club. And I, going back to my original point about the diversity of college students, the students who go to school part-time while holding a full-time job is an altogether different kind of student than the student who comes from an upper middle class family and is going to a residential private university or college of some distinction. Altogether different kind of students. So there's different strokes for different folks.
Richard Vedder, director of the Center for College Affordability and Productivity, has spent more than 40 years in the classroom. Let's take a listen to yet another college student.
Hi, I'm Sarah Spock. I'm just graduated from Hampshire College, and I studied elementary education and psychology and also agriculture. I went to UMass Dartmouth for a couple of years, and like there it was a very kind of traditional experience. And yeah, I definitely felt like people didn't really take it seriously or, like, I don't know, show up to classes or really put all that much time into it. That's why are you laughing? It is. I don't know.
Okay, so Peter Stearns, let me take that to you. Granted, every college student is individual, but what about this idea of grade inflation, that with a smaller amount of work, a paper that may have gotten a C in 1960 would now get an A? Do you think that's true?
No, I think that's not true. I think that the paper they got a C might now get a B. I think there has been some grade inflation, but except at a few elite schools, not C to A. Most grade inflation is more moderate. Again, there is an issue here, but it's not as dramatic as some of the current hype is making out.
And yet, Peter, we started this hour by talking to someone who said that the United States is losing out in terms of immigration because the kids who are getting high advanced technical degrees in STEM subject areas are coming from foreign countries. So maybe we do have to kind of reevaluate our own college programs to make sure that kids are taking serious degrees, are looking ahead to the kind of jobs they want to get.
I agree with that. I agree with that entirely. I would add only that this has to run through the entire educational system. If you just start work habits in college, you're likely hitting things too late.
All right. So, Richard Vedder, your response to that, when does this entire lackadaisical attitude, the country club attitude, as you say it, begin? Does it begin once they get out of their parents' home in college or earlier?
No, I would agree largely with Peter. I think we have seen some deterioration probably in work habits and work ethics even in the K through 12 area. It is not something that uniquely begins at college. And although I think colleges may share in some of the blame, if you like, for some of the things that are happening, they certainly don't deserve all of the blame. As we become more affluent as a society, parents perhaps become more indulgent with their students. They lose sight of the basic values of hard work and so forth a little bit, and maybe that has happened in our nation, unfortunately.
How many hours do you think a college student should study?
Well, I think the old evidence from the 60s, which is when I went to school, by the way, that they study about 40 hours a week in class or studying seemed to me a fairly reasonable expectations about what an adult worker works. The evidence from most of the recent surveys say 27, 28 hours a week is more like the norm.
Full-time hours. Peter Stearns, how many hours should a college student study?
I would agree 40, and I think, however, the actual figures now run about 33. The gap is not as big as Richard suggests.
Peter Stearns is provost and professor of history at George Mason University. He's taught for more than 40 years, and Richard Vedder, director of the Center for College Affordability and Productivity, also has taught for more than 40 years. Neither of you has had a student named Sean Keeley, have you? because, you know, he's not studying very much. That's what he says.
Well, he's in film.
Yeah. So. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
We're hearing your responses to this story. Here's Brady from Tennessee.
I found that after two graduate degrees that there's a strong force of ignorance and apathy. I mean, it seems like parents don't really provide their children with enough motivation, and the children get to college, they don't have a desire to learn more, so they don't know and they don't care.
That's Brady's story. Here's a listener from Stillwater, Oklahoma. I studied all the time, and I can't walk and chew gum, so I had to concentrate to do well. Either classes are easier now, or they're just smarter. The conversation is continuing at thetakeaway.org on Facebook and on our phone lines at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us your story. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.